Welcome. I am Emmy Louie, Feng Shui Architect, and I want to welcome you, listeners, to the show, the Emmy Louie Show. I have today with us Mary Shurtleff, and we are going to talk about the alchemy of quantum mind feng shui. Mary Shurtleff is a feng shui interior design consultant, hypnotherapist, and sixth sensory practitioner. She studied under Master Peter Liang and the Black Hat School of Feng Shui. A certified sixth sensory practitioner, Ms. Shurtleff studied under Sonia Coquette, a world-renowned psychic. Ms. Shurtleff is a clinical hypnotherapist who trained under Virgil Hayes and Betty Finnis. Ms. Shurtleff is also the author of Alchemy of Quantum Mind Feng Shui and a reference guide for the students of Feng Shui. She has also recorded several audio CDs entitled Quantum Mind Feng Shui, Opening the Third Eye of Consciousness, Projecting Dreams into Reality, and If You Can Dream It, You Can Be It, a Weight Management Self-Esteem Tool. Ms. Shurtleff is the founder of her company, Design Wisdom Feng Shui. Welcome, Ms. Shurtleff.
Thank you.
So, Mary, it's exciting that you have this book. Are you very excited about your new book, Alchemy of Quantum Mind Feng Shui?
I am. It seems like it's just the end of one part of a chapter of my life and starting into another one. This book and these methods actually bumped me into just a different level of my own being and my own success. The quantum living, it makes me able to just look toward the future and be able to manifest a lot of what I'm seeing for myself and my own future. And I help other people do that as well. It actually goes hand in hand with that movie, The Secret. You know, it talks about, you know, how to really boost your potential.
The Alchemy of Quantum Mind Feng Shui, and that's a very interesting title. How did you come about that title? And can you tell me about that, the meaning of that title?
The quantum means, you know, kind of things that move, that is a continual movement on into space, so to speak. And I like to think of the mind as that, always moving and always being able to move forward. And feng shui, being about energy, is just being able to use your environment, your environmental energy or its items in your environment to actually help you get your mind in the right place, you know, to keep things circulated around you that move you forward into your future instead of into the holding you back into the past. And so as I was doing that, I was trying to come up with the name, you know, the feng shui, reference guide for feng shui was what my last one was. And I thought, gosh, this is about moving into the future, being able to really project your future and making it happen for you, because you're the only one that can make it happen. And so it's about using tools in your environment and your own mindset and your own thought patterns to really move yourself forward. So I thought quantum mind, which is moving forward, and the feng shui, which is about energy, and your environment just seemed like it fit together like a glove for me. And we kicked around several different titles with my publisher, and each time we came back to this one, and I just said, run it, let's just run it. So that's how it came about.
I think it's very interesting that you're a hypnotherapist. What is the difference between a hypnotherapist and a hypnotist? Is that the same thing?
You know what? It really is. It's just a name. Master hypnotist. When I first started doing hypnotherapy, I was actually certified as a clinical hypnotherapist. And then, you know, as things kind of evolved through different fields and legislation, the clinical to hypnotherapy title was dropped, and it was just hypnotherapist. And now I think it's only master hypnotist that's. Bottom line is, it's pretty much all the same. It's about thoughts, you know, thought patterns and projections and behaviors, you know, just different behaviors that we pick up as a child and taking it through our life, you know, and how that affects our life.
How does a hypnotist differ, or you said hypnotherapy, how does that differ from neuro-linguistic programming? Because I've heard of neuro-linguistic programming a lot, but I've never taken the time to actually maybe read up on it. Can you explain the differences?
You know what? I just don't think, in my own opinion, this is strictly my opinion, there's just that much difference. I took the hypnotherapy first, and then I went into some NLP classes, and it was just so similar. that's actually how I ended up going back on into the feng shui, is because the NLP and the hypnotherapy was just so similar. It's just about anchoring, you know, behaviors and learning how to change the behaviors. So in my opinion, they are just real similar. I personally didn't see that much difference between the two. And that's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish you could demonstrate something in regards to hypnotism. Can hypnotism, is that self-talk, or is it something where it's your internal self-talk as well as your external self-talk? And then aren't some people natural hypnotists too?
Right, right. What hypnosis does is it's basically focusing your awareness on one subject. And it's just bringing you into a trance state. And I can do a little meditation with you if you'd like, with
the
audience.
Well, I wanted to, we could do that, because I was thinking of even commercials, how they're hypnotic.
Right, exactly. They use
I was thinking, I don't know, just anything you could think of where they start repeating the words.
Right.
Like even some
exactly.
speeches.
Exactly, it's repetition and 28 times usually sets the behavior.
Oh, 28 times.
Yeah, the 28, you know, like the 28 day behavior program or something, and it sets the behavior, and you start seeing that.
I didn't know
like
it's that
at the movie
much.
Theaters. Yep, the movie theaters, the red Coca-Cola, the yellow popcorn. It all becomes that signal to the brain, you know, oh, I'm hungry. It's the different colors, as you know, in feng shui, stimulates different, in the brain, the behavior patterns in the brain, the nerve patterns. And so we start looking in feng shui, you know, we call it the yin and the yang. The yang colors make more energy, and the yin colors are more conservative and passive. And so the advertising definitely uses a lot more of the aggressive qualities, and the more they show, the more we ingrain it in us, and we remember the names or whatever. And with hypnosis, it's the same thing. You have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the subconscious mind is our auto-programming, so to speak, from our childhood, you know, or genetic programming or generational, tribal, whatever you want to call that. And then the conscious is where we're at now, what we're doing on a conscious level. It's you and me talking. And it's becoming aware of those behaviors and those patterns. And what we start doing with hypnosis is we just focus the attention on whatever that pattern is. And then with this is where the feng shui comes in, and it's so strong. If we look around the house then and look for the different pictures on the walls or colors or even foods that we eat or smells that we have in our house that trigger that automatic programming that we're wanting to change. And so if you're wanting to change a programming, you have to change your environment as well. And that's actually how I got into feng shui. I was doing hypnosis. And, you know, in my hypnosis chair, people were doing great, making the changes, and the next week they'd just crawl back in and say, once I got home, I could keep it going 3 or 4 days, but that was about it. What can I do? And that's when I really got drawn into the feng shui, was I realized people needed to change positions of maybe their kitchen table, the way they came in the door, pictures on their wall, like people trying to, say, manage their weight. They have pictures of cows and pigs all through their kitchen. Well, they need to change that because every day they get up and they see the pig and, you know, or the cow, and both of them are larger creatures, and so it keeps them in that pattern. So we change what's on their fridge to, you know, just different pictures of healthy eating or even themselves at a healthier time. And it becomes, you know, that just that hypnotic trance that puts you in that says, oh, this is what I totally want in my
Mary,
life.
I think it's interesting. I think it was in your book because I just read it, and it said that is why we shop. Is this what you said in your book?
Yeah, I said we shop because we're looking for new chi, new energy. In our home, it becomes just old chi, old tired energy. And you should actually move your furniture around actually every 28 days as well. Because we get that gotoma, you know, in us, we begin to not see things in our environment, but it is there, you know. And I do a lot of demonstrations in my workshops where I put like a knife under somebody's chair. They don't even know it's a knife. I have them close their eyes, put a knife, and then we muscle test, and their body energy just goes down. And then if you put like a crystal or something that is good, you know, usually their body will respond positively to it. And
are
so
you
even
that
though
they don't even know that there's a knife underneath there,
right?
Their body
right. The
will
body
do that.
Knows, and a weapon in the bedroom, for instance, like a weapon underneath the bed or on the side drawer or something. As the body sleeps at night, it feels that, and the aura of the body just shakes. And so we're always looking for new energy and things that make us feel better. And that's why we shop, is because it's new. It's, you know, how many women out there have gone and bought a new bottle of lotion, and they probably have 15 under the sink. Because it's a new energy, it's a new feel, it's a new smell. And after a while, you know, that bottle of lotion or perfume will not smell the same as the very first day that you got it, because it's absorbing from the air and it's just changing smell, you know, and
so
as your body changes.
I think that's interesting because that's kind of generating consumerism, and I saw a quote, something about that it's easier to accumulate things than to get rid of it. So what are we to do if we want to get new energy from getting new things,
yeah,
but we have accumulation of them?
Right. What you do is basically, number one, buy smaller sizes, you know, of lotions or whatever. And then you really go through your house and you declutter. I think that's the biggest key, is starting to declutter all of that abundance that we bring in, or that accumulation. And start decluttering those things that you honestly do not need, or, you know, just bought on a whim. And I always tell people when I do the interior design, don't pay that much for furniture, because you get tired of it. And then, you know, if you pay $5,000 for a bed versus $1,000 for a bed, you're going to feel like you have to keep it longer. And you can, you know, exchange furniture throughout rooms. I always tell people, just move it around room to room. Change a coffee table for a different table throughout your room. And, you know, that way it's literally shaking up the chi, but we, you know, we can move it around and buy things that are versatile. But once you get into the feng shui mind of not wanting the clutter, you find yourself not shopping. You're looking out in nature and you're looking for other things, because your body becomes fulfilled. What happens is, as we shop and look for new things, it's because our home is not fulfilling us anymore. And so then we want to move it around, shake it up, so that it becomes, so it feels new and fulfilled, just by shaking up the energy, or just moving, you know, like maybe a table from a bedroom to a living room, or even moving rooms, like maybe changing a dining room for a den or something. You know, just
Mary,
to kind of shake up the change.
We opened up I'm opening up a new kind of idea here, and you just made me think about my local shopping mall. And when I look at shopping malls, they seem to go into cycles of either every 5 years or 10 years, and they go under mm-hmm. major renovations. And I wonder if what you're talking about is similar, in that people want to feel different energies every once in a while. And it's not because buildings can't last that long, is that people don't want the buildings to look the same.
Right.
After a while. I was just thinking about that. Every time when I might go back to my hometown, and I might look in the shopping mall, and I'll think to myself, oh, this has changed, this has stayed the same, and that seems intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every 7 years, that's where the seven-year itch came from, is that every 7 years, you know, we slug off a behavior and develop a new one, so to speak. And in interior design school, we talked about that, how every 7 years people will want, you know, like a new couch or new painting or whatever. You know, it's about, and every 7 years you should actually repaint your house, you know, just to get that new feel, because the body just changes behavior. And in feng shui, with the pattern of the bagua, you know, as you go through the different levels of the different aspirations, you know, you get back to the there's eight that goes around on the bagua. You know, as you get back to the eighth aspiration, a lot of people will move out of their house within that time, or want to remodel or repaint or do something like that, because the journey becomes completed. You know, we're attracted to a house for a reason, for, you know, either a success or for a lesson or whatever. And then when that lesson becomes completed in that house is when I see people start to change. You know, they're wanting changes, and a lot of times it may be a job change, you know, a relationship change, health habits changes or something like that. And it's the cycle of the house. As you start looking at the cycle and what occurred in the house, you will see that. There's always
okay.
a completion there.
So okay, we'll take a break. We are with Mary Shortliff, and we'll take a 2-minute break. And I am Emmy Louie, and you are listening to the Emmy Louie Show. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and you are listening to the Emmy Louie Show. This show also broadcasts on the Seventh Wave Network. That's www.seventhwavenetwork.com. That's seven spelled with a number seven, and that airs every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are back here with Mary Shurtleff. She is a feng shui interior design consultant, hypnotherapist, and sixth sensory practitioner. And it's interesting, Mary, we were talking about 7 years and 28 days. Is 28 days related to the, you said about 28 times and 28 days, does that have to relate to the moon? Is there anything to do with that?
Yeah, there's some patterns there as well. You know, the different patterns, the full moon pattern is you know, it's the cycle of the full moon decreases, then that is actually a clearing time. That's a great time to clear your clutter, so to speak. It's because the moon's waning. You know, it's moving smaller in size, and so that's when you like pull weeds and clean your house and get rid of things that you do not want anymore. And then the new moon is when is the waning sign, or do I have those backwards? I'm trying to think. Waxing.
No, it's waxing.
Waxing.
Yeah, when it
it's
goes
waxing
bigger.
When it,
yeah.
When it grows. And so that's when you want to start growing new ideas and growing new businesses. And it's really about the same concept. There's always a cycle. My master, Peter Luong, who taught me, you know, the traditional compass and flying stars feng shui, talks a lot about always look for the pattern, always look for the repetition, and when you find that pattern, and in hypnosis, one of the patterns was the, you know, 28 days repetition. And so, you know, feng shui, everything has a pattern.
Okay, Mary, so you were talking about patterns?
Yeah, I'm not sure where we got cut off there, but Peter Luong, my master teacher, talked about always finding the pattern in nature, and everything has a pattern, everything has a rhythm. And so, you know, as you look at the behaviors and you look at different patterns within the nature, within the seasons, you know, within even the daytime, there's a lot of different patterns there. So yes, I think the 28 days definitely goes in with the pattern of the nature and the even the season and the moon cycle. Because, you know, during some parts of the moon, you're more energetic, and other parts you're not. Mm-hmm. And, for instance, at the full moon, you know, you'll find more babies born and more trauma in a hospital room. And, you know, like fights breaking out, more violence on the streets, that type of thing during a full moon, because the energy is closer to the surface. You know, the emotions and the blood is closer to the surface is what I was taught. And so, you know, all of that makes a difference in the pattern and the routine. And mm-hmm. starting your 28-day behavior would possibly, with the moon, help with success as well. If you, for instance, were wanting to start some kind of program of decluttering, you might want to start on the full moon. If you're wanting to start, like, maybe a new business or something, start on the new moon. You know, it'd be getting rid of or adding to.
Okay. So I wanted to talk back to about the guns in the closet. So are you saying mm-hmm. that we shouldn't have guns in our closets?
There shouldn't be guns in the bedroom, under the bed, or next to the bed. If the closet is more than 8 feet, it's probably okay, but it still draws to you that weapon mentality, so to speak. You know, it just should not be in the bedroom, because our body knows it's there and it becomes on edge from it. Does that make sense?
Oh,
hello?
Yeah. I mean, yes, hello. Yes.
Thought I lost you. I heard a clunk.
No, I know. I mean, I remember when I handled a rifle, a real one, and I was on edge.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. Here I am using a rifle and putting holes in this sign. Granted, this was in Montana,
mm-hmm.
And that was for fun, but I was thinking it's just edgy.
Yeah.
You have this, your adrenaline, I'm sure, at least I felt my adrenaline going up,
yeah,
I would think.
And the weapon does. The weapon is not in harmony with the body. You know, the body was created for love and compassion, and the weapon is a total conflict to that. And so the body, you know, has problems with that. It's even trying to sleep at night or even in the home. and it should. They need to be locked up behind a closed cabinet or something like that, where, you know, number one, that's gun safety. But the other thing is the body feels safer. You know, like a gun safe is an ideal solution. That type of thing, and you know, it would just bring more of a calming harmony and peace to the household itself. And
so, yes, and then you're going about you're saying about every 7 years. So you think it's okay that every shopping mall gets redone every 7 years?
Oh, absolutely, because it brings peace. No, people, you know what it is, and it doesn't even need to be renovated. You know, just even a new paint job or new doors or windows. You know, anything like that. When you redo something, it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, a gallon of paint only costs, gosh, anywhere from $14 to $30 a gallon usually. And it just does not cost that much to paint. And it can be a relaxing afternoon just to sit and just focus and paint. And even furniture, you don't have to get new furniture. Just get maybe new colored pillows or a carpet, maybe get a new area rug or something like that, just to uplift the energy and the chi, just to shake it up a little bit, shake up the chi, you know? And
well,
Mary,
I have to say that if we are going to add some things, I know that there is a theory out there. It's called Cradle to Cradle, and this author, architect, talked about that we need to treat our objects similar to how nature treats itself, in that it generates new things, but yet it declines in the fall, and then it recycles. It's self-recycling, such as nature. And so he suggests that we create products, even buildings, I would presume, similar to how nature works. And it's been a groundbreaking book called Cradle to Cradle. Cradle to Cradle. So anyway, let's move on to let's talk about how Caroline Mice affects your work.
I started studying her, I believe, time gets away from me, about 10 years ago, I believe, when she had the Energy of Anatomy or Energy of the Spirit.
Anatomy of the Spirit, that's correct.
Anatomy of the Spirit. And I'm not home right now, so I'm not sure of the title. But I started reading about her and the tribal programming, and I thought her information was amazing. And I apologize if I don't have the time frame right on that, because time travels quickly anymore when you're in the quantum leap. But, you know, she had a lot of influence on a lot of my family programming when I started looking back at my own family programming when I was studying the hypnosis. And you know what? It may have even been longer than 10 years ago, actually, now that I think about it, because it was when I was doing the hypnosis. And I started looking at my own tribal and generation programming and things that I could do to start changing that, and where I was falling into, you know, my old habits and my routines and how I needed to change that through my environment. And she just really was a strong influence. And I had the opportunity to see her in Vegas a couple of years ago at the I Can Do It Now convention with Helen Hayes, Louise Hay. And it was just amazing. She was just, electrifying when she talked. And there was Louise Hay there and Sylvia Brown and Sonia Choquette. And that's when I started studying with Sonia as well. I'd met her at Vegas. And
I'm sorry, I think I mispronounced her name, Caroline Mace, because some of the work that you do, it sounded like that kind of the tribal programming. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I looked at the tribal programming of, you know, how were we raised and how was the generation, you know, what was their views on, you know, say money, relationship, abuse, you know, health. And then that's where we go in and we try to reprogram through the environment some of those habits. And Caroline Mace is, you know, part of my mentor, I guess, for lack of a better word. I've never studied with her personally other than just there in Vegas when I had the opportunity to see her and just talk to her a few minutes. And, her work is amazing. You know, I just think she's an amazing woman and has a serious gift going on there, you know.
Okay.
But it's about tribal. Yes. You know, what do we exhibit in our house, habits that we're wanting to change, whether it's health habits, you know, chains of abuse, you know, even divorce, anything like that can be changed within the household.
Okay, I am Emmy Louie, and you're listening to the Emmy Louie Show. We're going to take a short 2-minute break, and we're here with Mary Shortlist, a feng shui interior design consultant, hypnotherapist, and sixth sensory practitioner. We will be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and you are listening to the Emmy Louie Show. I am going to give away a prize. It is a free Bagua board. It's an 11-inch by 11-inch Bagua board donated by Mary Dennis, Executive Director of Graceful Lifestyles Game Board. It's similar to a game board like Monopoly or Scrabble. And so it has a lot of the notes related to the Bagua. And so it is free, and you can claim that prize. And all you have to do is just email me at emy@emyloue.com, and the first person who emails me wins this free prize. And you can also email me even 24 hours after the show, because there are prizes that do go unclaimed. And do check out my website at www.emyloue.com. And we are here with Mary Shortlift. She is a feng shui interior design consultant, hypnotherapist, and sixth sensory practitioner. And Mary, we have decided during our break is that we are you're going to take us through some chakra openings or some kind of a guided meditation.
Okay, we can do that. I would like to talk a little bit about the chakras and how they actually work with conjunction to the feng shui. The chakras in the body are an energy point, and they begin at the pubic bone, and they go up. They're up into the crown chakra. And so what I would like to do, how long a meditation do we have here?
It's totally up to you. We have 25 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Can we do all the chakras within 10, 15 minutes?
You know, it might be, let's do... As we look at the chakras, let's do the root chakra, and you know what? I think I can do it in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
let's get them lined up.
One 15 minutes. That's great.
Yeah, we'll just line them up. Okay. So first of all, I would like for you just to plant your feet on the floor, and
stand up or sit down.
Sit down. Get really comfortable in a chair. I would sit down. And get comfortable in a chair with a straight back and feet flat on the floor. And let's just do some breathing to start off. And I'd like for you, first of all, just to breathe in through your nose. Take a big, deep breath into the lungs. And inhale in and hold it up into the lungs for a minute. And then push out your muscles in your stomach. And then exhale with a great big, and just let it go so that you're letting out all of the tension in your stomach. So let's try that again. Just inhale in. Hold it. Push out your stomach muscles. And just relax with a... And one more time. Inhale in. Hold it up in your chest. Push out your stomach muscles. And then exhale with an...
Do you want to hear me exhale?
I could. If you're exhaling properly, I should be able to hear you.
Okay, I'll make it louder.
Okay, so inhale in, hold it. Push out your stomach muscles, and... Perfect. Okay. Now just sit there quietly for a moment, and just breathe normally, and listen to the sounds around you. Close your eyes and listen. And as you focus only on your hearing, you will find your hearing becomes enhanced. And as your eyes are closed, you will notice that behind your eyes, there might be some colors or some pictures. And just allow things to float in and out. And notice the colors. If it's a red, it's grounded in the root chakra. If it's yellow, it will be the solar plexus, and if it's orange, it will be the spleen. If there's some blue, it might be about speech. If it's purple, it might be spiritual. If it's white or gold, it's going to be in the crown. And then the heart chakra, of course, is green. A lot of healing might be going on. And so pay close attention to the colors behind your eyes and the sounds that you're hearing. And you might feel the need just to swallow a little bit, or the muscles around your eyes might be relaxing, and just let everything just relax for just another 10, 15 minutes. And just listen and breathe. Just be in that space. Listen to every sound in your environment as you just let your body relax and drift. Another deep breath. Hold it. Blow it out through the mouth. Just sink deeper and deeper into your chair. Let's focus all of your attention now upon your root chakra, which is around the pelvic bone. The root chakra is our grounding and foundation. There are 7 chakras within the body. Each one builds upon the other one, and the root chakra is the one that the other 6 build upon. So the root chakra is important that it is solid. It is the foundation of your building. And if this foundation is strong, the rest of the building becomes very, very strong. So focus on your root chakra. Focus on the pelvic region, the base of your spine. And allow the color red just to come forward. The foundation of your building is going to be red for grounding and earth foundation. And if any other color comes to mind, that's okay. Just let it come out. But almost see this pelvic bone area is very strong. The bones in that area are just solid and strong. And your 2 legs holding that area are just solid and strong, and they move forward easily and effortlessly. And just feel that strength. It's almost like the bottom of your body is just a chair, a solid chair. Feel the strength in this area of the body and allow that foundation and that grounding and that security just to take hold and anchor. And as that's anchoring, let's start building the next level. The next level is yellow, or orange, excuse me. This is the spleen chakra. The spleen chakra is located about 2 inches below the navel, just above the root chakra. Notice this area. As it builds above the root chakra, it's orange in color, and this is where we house our family, our relationships, our behaviors. And in this root chakra, or this spleen chakra, which is above the root chakra, allow this area just to become very strong as well, with you, with your spirit, your beliefs. As you stand in front of the family beliefs in your family and you look upon them with love and compassion, you feel a new sense of being, a new sense of grounding and relationships. And take another deep breath and blow it out and just allow it to be so. And as you stand on your new foundation in your body with your new strength and your new foundation and your new beliefs, allow that energy to start moving on above the belly button about 2 inches into the solar plexus chakra. This is the willpower. This is your determination. This is also who and what you believe you can do. As you look at this area, allow it just to fill up with big yellow sunshine, because below it now we have the red foundation, strong, sturdy, a belief system of love and compassion. supporting our successes, supporting our goals and our potential. Feel that strength just shining out of your solar plexus like rays of the sun, just pushing out into the environment for all to see. This is where your light shines from, is your solar plexus. As you stand up straight and tall, your light shows beautifully to the world as it sets upon its beautiful shelf of red and upon a system of love and support from your spirit, one of love and compassion. And as you see that yellow sunshine radiate out into the universe for all the world to see, you know, if you can dream it, think it in your head, you can be it and make it happen. And as you move up the body into the heart chakra, there's a pinkish green coming from the heart chakra, again, radiating out into the universe like a big, beautiful crystal. This is the love now that we send out into the world, setting upon a foundation of a red shelf, an orange shelf of love for ourselves that we gather from spirit, love, compassion, understanding. With the yellow setting on the orange, radiating out into the universe, manifesting our goals. And on top of that is this big, beautiful, pinkish green crystal, radiating love now from our spirit to the world. Understanding and seeing compassion around us like we had never seen before. Genuine looking for peace and harmony for ourselves and for others. As you feel the love, you're able to start speaking the truth as we move up into the throat chakra. The throat chakra is blue, vibration of metal. Take a deep breath and line up. Stand up tall or set up tall and line up from the root to the spleen, to the solar plexus, to the heart. Make it one big, tight, strong cord into the voice and blow it out. And as you blow it out, realize that you start speaking your truth and start speaking the truth that you see. From this vibration of the voice and the vibration of the blue, you find the words just come and flow. And you show people who you are based upon the foundation of your grounding and security, based upon love for your spirit, compassion, understanding, based upon your willpower and determination to achieve anything that you believe and think, based upon your ability to give out love and compassion, understanding to the world and to mankind and to all living things. As you allow this energy to go into your throat, you may find the need to swallow or cough because it's opening up like a big, beautiful blossom, speaking and articulating to the world your truth. And take another deep breath and just make it so. And then allow the energy to just move on up into the head, into the third eye chakra located right in the middle of the forehead between the two eyes. This is our knowing. This is our intuition. As you focus on that spot, picture an eye right in the middle of your forehead. And allow now that third eye to open. And as it opens, you are able to see what is not there. You are able to hear what is not being said. You are able to know things around you that you never thought possible. And as you start looking for signs and metaphors, you find these signs literally guide you throughout your day, because this intuition, this natural instinct, this hunch, this psychic ability becomes so powerful as it guides you throughout your day. This intuition is built upon a strong foundation of grounding and security and love and compassion and understanding and the ability to speak up for yourself, that you feel more powerful than you ever thought possible. And as you allow that energy to go into the crown chakra at the very top of your head, just allow the top of your head to open up with a big gold light. As it opens up, all the information from the heavens and the universe just zips right in through that top of that head, crown chakra, clear through the third eye, the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, the spleen, and the root chakra, grounding you with all universal information that you need to get through each day. As you feel that strength of the universal energy coming in the top of your head, you also feel the grounding from the earth coming up through the feet into the earth, into the root chakra as well. And as it meets at the heart chakra and the solar plexus and the spleen chakra, you feel new energy, new power, new bursts of inspiration. Take another deep breath. Hold it and blow this one out. And feel your body just surrounded in lights of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, and pink, and blue, indigo, and gold, and white. And you just feel the body swirling in these lights, feeling radiated and new and alive. And realize now, you know something now that you always have known, but to know it and to bring it up from that subconscious mind, from that universal energy, makes you more powerful, more solid than you ever thought possible. And as you move today easily and effortlessly, you will find that you have an internal deep happiness, a smile on your face, and people will actually look at you and they will see this aura of light, and they will be drawn to that aura. And you will find a new connection to mankind if you allow it to be so. Allow it to be so. And take a deep breath and just set that right into that root chakra. Inhale in. Ground it right into that root chakra, all the way down from the crown chakra, with information, love, compassion, understanding, security. Feel now at peace, allowing your light to show rest of the day.
Thank you, Mary.
Smile on your face. And just go ahead and open your eyes whenever you feel the need. Take your time. And a deep breath when you open your eyes and let it out.
So, Mary, did you hypnotize me?
I did, I hope. Do you remember what we said?
Yeah, yes. You know what? I had some thoughts while you were doing this, and I wanted to reiterate what you were talking about, Mary, and you said that one of the things that why you got into feng shui was that you realized that feng shui was just an extension of subconscious programming, or what I would call auto-suggestion,
right,
termed in the book Think and Grow Rich. And so I thought to myself, wow, every object in our house has the ability for auto-suggestion. And then I thought to myself, I purchased a juicer recently, and I was so happy that I had that juicer. And then I realized that I had to find space for it on my kitchen counter, or find some space for it in the kitchen. And then I thought to myself, oh gee, now I got one more thing to maintain. And it's really interesting how sometimes when we acquire something, we're happy to acquire it, and then when we integrate it into our life, it becomes kind of a negative or a positive, depending
on
how we want to.
Exactly.
Well, what do you think about what I said about my juicer?
Number one, it does signify health, but then, you know, if you have to, it sounds like to me all of a sudden it became another problem, you know, with the burden of the juicer. You might need to clear your counters a little bit and put things off your counters that you aren't using as much. And, you know, are you going to use the juicer? Or is it just another object that, you know, you're going to use a couple of times and then put it under the counter as well? And that's
yes.
what you need to look at. Is
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that a lot of people find joy in a lot of their objects,
right.
but somehow when they, there's a fine line when it starts to becoming burdensome.
Yeah.
And I
exactly.
think that's why we always have to monitor that. Where does it add to your life or does it burden your life? And it's very interesting that some of our best things, if it's not put in the right way, can be a burden.
Exactly.
And I thought about that when we were going through the meditation. And then I thought about mass hypnosis, and I was thinking maybe that's why people go to concerts.
Yeah, yeah. It's just to kind of forget, you know, for that time, the energy of the music is resonating on all the chakras. There's tones that go with each chakra as well. And, you know, it resonates with each chakra. And that's why music, you know, the different tones, you know, as it hits the different chakras, will have a different effect and different music, you know, like rock and roll versus classical. You know, what chakras are those hitting? And the chakras can be big. And then it goes back to even areas of the house for which chakra, which behavior do we need to work on? Is it grounding? Is it love for self? Finding the spirit again? Is it love for others? You know, a lot of times we have to find love for ourselves in that spleen chakra first before we can emit love on out of the heart chakra. You know, because the spleen chakra is family where we've learned how to love. And sometimes, you know, our idea of love or people's idea of love is different. And that's why some people stay in the abuse. You know, I'm not a doctor or anything. Don't get me wrong there. But, you know, it's because of that behavior, that tribal programming, because that's what they see as love. And so then it comes back to changing that behavior of love for self and spirit and then being able to give that back out in a positive way.
Mary,
does that make sense?
We have three more minutes. Yes. We have three more minutes. Is there something you want to say that we didn't talk about in regard to either quantum thinking or your training or your book?
Yeah, I just think people really, I love that movie, The Secret, because it talks to you about, you know, how you really are in control of your own destiny and, you know, how you can use the universal energy to help you or the God energy, whatever word it is to people, that higher wisdom. And, you know, they suggest making the collage, and there is a feng shui practitioner, but I think every item, and you hit it, every item in the home, whether it's a family picture or a past family picture or a rocking chair from grandma or the new clothes that you bought yesterday at the mall, everything has an impact upon our mind. And we need to look at our homes and pay attention to this impact. And, you know, is it positive? Is it negative? Is it moving us in the direction? But the one thing people have to get the most in their head is, what is your goal? You don't get in a taxi cab and say, I don't want to go to the hospital, I don't want to go to the hotel, I don't want to go in the airport. We get in a taxi cab and say, I want to go here, and we expect that cab to just take us there. Well, that's what we need to do with our lives, is we need to get inside our head and say, I want to do this. We get in the cab and we expect ourselves just to be there. And instead, we start meshing in our mind, I can do it, I can't do it, da-da-da, oh, I shouldn't do it. You know, people say, are you insane? What do you mean you can't do that? Well, all of that is the negative programming. I tell people, get in your cab, tell them exactly where you're going, and expect to get there. And use your house to do it. If there's something in your house that makes you think, I don't know if I like that, or that makes me feel like this, get rid of it. It doesn't matter what it is, how expensive it is, or anything, get rid of it. Because if it's holding you back from your goal of success, relationship, great health, then it's not serving it's purpose or yours. And
wonderful.
So I tell people,
Mm-hmm. What about cars? I don't know why that came up, because we spent a lot of money on cars.
We invest
a lot of money. So we are going to finish up soon. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know what? Cars, again, you look at the color, but again, cars become a status symbol. You know, they're a way to get us from point A to point B. And again, it goes back to cost, you know, what money-wise, gas consumption, because we need to start recycling and reusing more, because we are a throwaway society. But again, what is the thought pattern behind this car? Why do you need this car? Why do you feel drawn to this car? And some people will do it for status symbols. Some people
and
will
some
do
it
for drive fast.
Unconscious reasons. Too.
Yeah, unconscious reasons.
We are out of time. Mary, we're out of time, and thank you for being on our show.
Oh,
I'm
thank
Emmy
you.
Louie, and this is Emmy Louie's show, and namaste.
Namaste.